Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week's first and only contestant is a Belgian ale from the brewery Lupulus, located in the French-speaking Wallonia in Belgium, just north of the Dukedom Luxembourg. The beer's name is Lupulus Organicus.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first and only contestant this week is the Lupulus Organicus beer assortment from Lupulus in the French-speaking part of Belgium in a region bordering Luxembourg. That makes it interesting. The brewery may have a French name, but it is too tempting and much easier to use the name Lupulus. It's on the bottle label where the French-speaking name is absent. The name Lupulus has been taken from the Latin name for hops, Humulus lupulus, which roughly means little humble wolf. You can tell that the brewery is of modern date on the bottle label design. This Belgian brewery has only been around since 2007, but I don't get bad vibes about this beer because of that. But when I read on the brewery's website about this beer, I kind of do. The beer isn't supposed to be full-bodied, and it isn't very bitter, according to their own record. Yet it isn't a wheat beer. They have a chart with 5 circles, and they only show 1 colored circle for body and 1 colored circle for bitterness. The beer is supposed to be triple biologic, whatever that means. They don't explain. It is a triple beer assortment, I know that. Triple. I also know it is supposed to be organic. It's in the name. But they don't explain that either. How is it organic? Because it is made in a region with only some 5,500 inhabitants? No fair. Anyway, the ingredients in Lupulus Organicus are water, barley malt, hops, sugar, and yeast. The best before date on this beer is July 2026. Today it is late January 2024. The Lupulus Organicus beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters, i.e. an about 11 liquid ounces bottle. The bottle label is two-folded with a green-colored wolf's head on a black background on the front label. There is the text, "Just Fabulous," spelled F-A-B-U-L-U-S on the front label. It is not spelled like that because the beer is Belgian, but maybe it is spelled like that because they want to play with the word Lupulus, but most likely it is misspelled. The Lupulus Organicus costs about 38 kroner at Systembolaget. That is $3.80. That is $1.38 per 4 ounces of beer. Ouch. According to Systembolaget, the preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. That is another reason why I'm suspicious of this beer. It has got a preferred serving temperature like a lager beer. But with the strong ABV level it has got, it can't possibly be a lager beer. Ale serving temperatures are supposed to be between 10 to 14 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 57 degrees Fahrenheit. The Lupulus Organicus from Lupulus, let's call them that, has got an 8.5% ABV level. 8.5%. How about the experience then? Let's open it up. And the glass. I can smell the beer already. Pilsner aroma, actually. It's got a large, it's got a tall head. Four, almost five fingers tall. Or five fingers tall. Yeah. The color is clear yellow, a little bit cloudy, but not much. I can see my fingers through the glass. It's I haven't gotten through the foam, but I'll soon get past that. First impression, I can't tell yet. First impression, it's not so bad as I thought it would be. That's my first impression. It's actually pretty good in my first impression. But that may change, but it's pretty rich actually. It's not so not rich as I thought. I think it's rich. It's bread like white bread, and it's not very yeasty. No, it's no, it's not malty. Taste my palate is hoppiness. It's not very sweet, but not very dry either. It's somewhere in between. A little bit more sweet than dry, perhaps. But it's strong. And it's hoppy, as I already said. It's not smoky, of course. It's not candy-like. Not very fruity either. There may be some spices in it. Yeah. What is it about this beer? I don't know. I don't know what undertone it has got, if it has got any. Carbonation level, I think, is pretty fair to say that. Even though I haven't burped, I think it's pretty high. It's not creamy. It's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. It's filtered to some degree. and it's well balanced. Let's see if there are any more flavors or tastes in it. Pineapple, no. Pine needle, no. Apricot, no. Light bread, yeah, I already said that. Banana, let's see. No. Straw, yeah, perhaps. It's, you could say that. Syrup, no. Honey, no. But a little bit sugary, perhaps. I can't sense exactly the sugariness in it, but it's supposed to be sugary. There's sugar in it. It doesn't taste like a pilsner anyway, even though the aroma was pilsner-like. Licorice, no. Clove, no. Fudge, no. Chocolate, no. Coffee, no. Raspberry, no. Blueberry, no. Mango, no. Tangerine, let's see. Perhaps tangerine peels. Can be interpreted into this, even if they don't have it when brewing the beer. I think you could say that it's got tangerine peels taste or flavor. Raisin, no. Vanilla, no. What about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? Well, it's much better than I thought it was gonna be. But it's a little bit mainstream. But still it's a good beer. So I grade this beer 8 tables out of 10 possible. It's a good grading. A very common grading for me, but beers at Sustainable Out are very often good beers. There are some exceptions, probably because of political reasons or something, I don't know, but they usually purchase stocks of beer that's very good quality beers. Excuse me. Yeah, it's got carbonation 11. They do buy stocks of beer that's very good quality. Usually it's a state-owned Systembolaget is state-owned here in Sweden, like they have in Utah. But we know that they're going to do their best to keep the quality up and the quantity down. Okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. The peace that never came. In an article published by World Israel News on the 17th of January, Benjamin Netanyahu was reviewed as saying, quote, "Let nobody misjudge us. We will continue to fight on land, at sea, and in the air until total victory." End Netanyahu quote in a Churchill manner. Yes. Israel will make tactical victories after tactical victories after tactical victories until they lose. Sorry, but you missed the big league as you were busy playing the minor league. I don't think that Netanyahu is stupid, but he does stupid things because he is rigid in his mind. I think that the reason why Netanyahu and many other Israelis seem so unrelentless is rooted in culture and religion. Christians have Jesus Christ, and our cultures are colored by his teachings. The Jews have no such thing, and they don't have a notion of what hell is, as far as I understand. Hell is not mentioned in their holy scriptures. The burning hell was invented by the Romans. The whole thing to me resembles an idea that it is not just less perverted minds that get to go to heaven or hell. The Israelis, including Netanyahu, are less deviated than most of the world. This is because the Jews are persecuted in this world. But heaven isn't just for suits, and hell isn't just for the dirt poor Trumpers. Netanyahu and his cronies may not go to heaven. I personally don't believe that hell is for just anyone. Only in very rare cases do people go to hell. Hamas may have earned their place in hell, but Netanyahu better be careful not to stare into the abyss and become the monster his adversaries are and end up in hell. That goes for all of us. I think that Netanyahu will experience karma. There will be a multi-front Israeli war without US participation if Netanyahu doesn't start to think dynamically sometime soon. In an article from World Israel News on the 18th, the Saudi Crown Prince Faisal bin Farhan, foreign minister for Saudi Arabia, announced Tuesday that, quote, the Arab kingdom would once again be open to considering normalizing ties with Israel as soon as Israel agrees to a permanent ceasefire and the creation of a Palestinian state. And we agree that regional peace includes peace for Israel, but that could only happen through peace for the Palestinians through a Palestinian state. And he added, quote, my government is working with the US towards a broader peace deal which include Palestinian statehood as well as normalization with Israel. There is a pathway towards a much better future for the region, for the Palestinians, and for Israel. That is peace, and we are fully committed to that. End quote by the prince spoken at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Well, well, well. Look who has suddenly become a humanitarian. Saudi Arabia is fully committed to peace. No, they're not. I am sure journalist, author, and dissident activist Jamal Khashoggi was murdered by beheading in October 2018 by order from the Saudi royalty Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman because the Saudis are humanitarian peace lovers. And in Israel World News on the 22nd of January, quote, speaking with CNN Sunday, Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud ruled out normalization talks with Israel unless they are accompanied by what host Fareed Zakaria called a credible and irreversible path to a Palestinian state. End quote. What is it that Netanyahu doesn't understand? And does this mean that there never was an Abraham's Accord to begin with? Of course it means that the Saudis don't give. It means that the Saudis want an American, British, and Israeli war on Iran. The Saudis are not interested in peace, and they are certainly not interested in the well-being of Israel and the Israelis. They are interested in war, as long as they themselves don't have to fight it. Good heavens, no, they could lose. I think it is a safe bet that the Iranians are better than the Saudis on warfare. Fully committed to peace, the hell they are. And the source for this was World Israel News. Dismantling Trump. I am going to dismantle a Trump statement, according to World Israel News from January 24, 2024. Quote Trump, "We are going to have the greatest Iron Dome anywhere in the world." End quote. Only missile defense systems on the receiving end can stop ICBMs. Shooting down incoming warheads is very difficult. The US already has a system in use, American Ground-Based Midcourse Defense System, or GMD. Instead of using an explosive charge, it launches a hit-to-kill kinetic projectile to intercept an ICBM. This means that in practice, the GMD must be placed really, really near the enemy missile's intended target for the GMD to be able to shoot down the enemy missile. Quote Donald Trump, "I will build an Iron Dome over our country, a state-of-the-art missile defense shield made in the USA. We do it for other countries. We help other countries. We don't do it for ourselves. We need it too," Trump said. End quote. Rogers note, "What are you raving about, Trump? The Iron Dome is part of a larger multi-layer air defense system. In this multi-layer system, it's the anti-missile system Arrow which intercept ICBMs. And it's David Sling which intercepts medium-range missiles. Iron Dome is a complete other type of system. Iron Dome is used against short-range rockets fired from Gaza or Lebanon. Iron Dome is a much more versatile missile since it can cover areas ranging from 4.5 to 72 kilometers. The anti-aircraft system ignores rockets heading over waters or fields and focuses on those rockets bound to hit populated areas. As I already explained, in practice, the already existing US GMD must be placed really, really near the enemy missile's intended target for the GMD to be able to shoot down the enemy ICBM missile. There would be such a hefty price tag on a still not sufficient system for the entirety of the populated US that it would probably dwarf the US national debt, and it would certainly break any federal budget. The existing GMDs are reserved for at-site protecting battle command centers and the likes. You have all this expertise at your reach, Trump, and you can't even get a thing like this right by asking a question, or do like I did and Google it, before going public with your plan, Donald Jesus Trump. And even if you did build a ballistic missile shield, how does that benefit other countries? I am asking a simple question. I want a simple answer. World Israel News reissued, quote from the article, "Trump described seeing the technology in action and being impressed by its capabilities during his visit to the Jewish state. I've seen shots you wouldn't even believe. Missile launch. They go, missile launch, and you hear a bell go. I see this. I like it. It's so incredible. And these guys, these geniuses, these are not muscle guys." End quote. Rogers' comment. Pass. Trump said last week, after winning the Iowa caucuses, that Hamas wouldn't have attacked Israel on October 7 if he had still been president, and he pledged to, quote, "solve the horrible situation in Israel if he wins in November." Rogers' comment. Okay, why wouldn't Hamas have dared to attack Israel if you, Donald Jesus Trump, were president? Haven't you noticed the Islamists aren't typically scared of the US, no matter who is president? And what's the horrible situation in Israel today that needs to be solved? That was yesterday's news. If you had been saying the horrible situation in Gaza, it would have made much more sense. Both if you mean the Israeli hostage situation, or if you mean the humanitarian crisis situation for the civilians in Gaza. In Trump's victory speech, Trump declared from the Iowa state capital, Des Moines, that Biden is the, quote, worst president that we've had in the history of the country. Rogers comments, okay, I thought it was Obama that was the worst president ever. But no, actually it is you who were the worst president in the history of your country. And not only that, but you are also a prime candidate for the worst person in the history of your country, Donald Jesus Trump. Trump said that if he had remained in the White House, Russia would not have attacked Ukraine. Israel would never have been attacked. He said these two issues would be resolved quickly should he be voted back into office later this year. Rogers comment, please tell me more, Donald. You seem to be Putin's bitch. What makes you think Putin wouldn't have dared attacking Ukraine, especially if you had pulled out of NATO? Trump said, quote, the Ukraine situation is so horrible. The Israeli situation is so horrible. What's happened? We're going to get them solved. We're going to get them solved very fast. End quote. Rogers comment, well, yes, certainly. If anyone can take care of the situation, it's God's only begotten son, Donald Jesus Trump. Hail Mary. My name is Roger Klang, and the source for this was World Israel News. See you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile.